morning. If my voice sounds odd, believe me, I feel odd. I have some bronchial infection, whatever it is. It seems tons of people in the country have these. We've been getting hit with all of these weather variances. We're not talking climate change, although that's what it would be listed as. But these different weather fronts, shifts in our patterns and everything else. I've always been a student of science since I was a kid. I figured it deals with everything we have to live with. So, a couple of quick things. If I sound funny or cough a little, I'm going to try and control it. But I've been on drugs, I'm not contagious, and of course, hopefully, I won't sound too funny. As to the title, I've stopped changing the title week to week because what have we got to lose? I think it's becoming more and more apparent to everybody that what have we got to lose is a good byline for the show at the moment. If I found something compelling that I have to put down as a subheading, I'll put it down. So bear with me. Just like my logo, when I started, I thought about it. AEE equals MC squared, as Alan Epstein means, equals more clarity. That's my motto, my feeling. As I say, I don't talk about things unless I've researched or checked them. If you find I've said something wrong, please send me in some facts that'll change it and anything you want to talk about. I think, what have we got to lose? There's a battle going on for the hearts and souls and minds of America. We've got a marketing genius who's sitting in the White House right now, who, as far as I'm concerned, as I've explained before, broke the law during the federal election and technically is invalid as a president. I filed something. It's called a complaint with the Federal Election Commission. Unfortunately, the way they see their job and the way they do things, they haven't released it yet. I'm going to try forcing them to release it because, as far as I'm concerned, if he did not respond, which he has a right to do, we each have a right to defend ourselves. But I think he disregarded it. And if he did, I've got to get them to understand that they do not, under their normal thing where they get a complaint and an answer, they usually have six people when it's, I believe, when they're full there at the Federal Election Commission. And out of the six people, they need a quorum, meaning four at least, to say that we've read everything and we agree with this side or that side. Now, when someone doesn't respond in our court system, in our laws, the rule of law that we live with here, from everything I know, if you file a valid complaint, and the Federal Election Commission is very strict with what you have to file. They kept coming back to me. I had to correct and improve it, do what they said is needed. Once they accept it, and they said they're sending it to the respondent, meaning the person I'm complaining about, Donald, then he has a certain amount of time to answer, just as I had a certain amount of time to perfect what I filed with them. If and when he doesn't, or asks for an extension or anything else, and this was months ago, it means that he loses by default. It's a famous principle in our laws that if you get something that's validly filed and accepted and you've been notified and you don't respond, you lose. Does it mean you lose forever? You have no rights? No. The worst person in the world could always find an appeal method. But as far as I'm concerned, I deserve what's called a default judgment, and I'm going to pursue the Federal Election Commission to get them to release my complaint as a default judgment. And then I'll keep you posted if I can get them to do it. It isn't easy. Basically, I'm saying you don't have to get together and rule on something if only one party filed and the other one didn't bother to answer you. The party who filed, if it's a valid complaint, is the winner. Now, the reason I say what have we got to lose becomes more and more apparent to everybody. I watch a lot of different news. I want to hear what everybody's saying, whether I agree with them or not. I always check facts. I always like what I hear. On the worst or the best stations, depending on your viewpoint or who's talking. And a lot of people bring these experts in. I used to joke that maybe what we ought to do is get all these experts to run the country for about 3 months, And instead of them pontificating and telling us how things should happen, if they're so great, we'll let them do it for 3 months. Except that would be so chaotic that it wouldn't work. I know it. We need some stability. But that means that if we have, because the way our forefathers designed our country, they said that even if we get somebody bad, we've got this process for kicking them out. Now, I'm sure by now everybody recognizes that it's the first time, and believe me, it's been happening over a couple of decades, but it's the first time I've ever seen anybody in the Oval Office act as though they represent one group or one party. And in fact, I think if that party, the Republican Party, which I've had a lot of respect for, because anybody who's listened to me, if I have to name my top two presidents from now going back to the Civil War, Eisenhower's on the top of the list, and Abraham Lincoln's the next one. Doesn't mean that I don't like the other people. I think FDR was fantastic. Teddy Roosevelt was intriguing. In fact, if you ask me, when you look at John Bolton, I think he has a picture of Teddy Roosevelt next to his mirror, so when he gets dressed in the morning and he combs his mustache and puts his glasses on, he wants to make sure that he resembles him. If he remembers, Teddy Roosevelt dealt with a lot of adversity. He came from a well-to-do family. But he had one of these streaks of, I'm going to go out and prove that I can do something, but something good. I'm going to fight for things that make sense. Everybody should think about this. When Bolton got disgusted, now he's what's called a hawk because he's very ready to go to battle all the time. We're all different. Everybody wants to pull their weapons out and start shooting. Some want to control it so they don't deal with the after effects. Somewhere in between is a balance that we all as humans have to learn to strike as a balance so that we don't have to waste our time going over things that we did too hastily. I can assure you, I have a response mechanism that if somebody's attacking me to kill me, I'm not going to waste time deciding should I try and talk them out of it. When that weapon is aimed at me or that knife or sword is swinging at me, I will go to make sure I take them out before they take me out. But other than that, we have different degrees of response. When we look at what's going on, I was really amazed that finally, in this past week on Morning Joe, which is a very popular show, and they have people on from different backgrounds, top Republican people. Morning Joe himself, Joe Scarborough, was an ardent Republican conservative, and he's out of Pensacola, Florida. He's been around. He's lived life like a lot of us, been married before, divorced, children, remarried, successful. That's great. But he seems to have a good grasp of what's going on in the world and the rest of it, and his current spouse, who's the other star of the show, Mika Brzezinski, she has a very interesting past, too. Her father was one of the better government advisors, and he was a guy who came out of Europe, but a smart guy who understood what totalitarianism, communism in its pure sense. People have to understand these things. These are words. Words aren't always what you're suffering under. You're suffering under somebody's version of how they interpret this, what they can get away with. So we're watching a battle. We can make it simple and say good and evil, but it's not that simple. There are people who are short-sighted and want what they want, and they figure if it's good for them, it's good for anybody. Not true. I may not suffer, but you may suffer. Does that mean I've done something good? So I'm not trying to pontificate, but Morning Joe in this past week had a session where they actually went over something I've talked to you about for going on almost a year at this point. Donald Trump is using our treasury like his piggy bank or cookie jar. Donald Trump, they finally figured out, when he goes on these golf weekends, relaxation, do we deny our president the right to relax? Sure. How about do we deny ourselves the right to feel secure, that our nation's not being taken away from us? This is why I've left the title, What Have We Got to Lose? Everything and Anything. So Morning Joe finally put some statistics up that said that they see the number. These numbers have been there before, as far as I'm concerned. Nobody was paying enough attention. That almost every day that Donald goes, where does he go? He goes to one of his resorts. I've had people who I consider smart, intelligent, whatever you want to call it. And they'll talk to you about saying, well, you know, so the man owns a lot of places. Okay. But when we have a president, did we elect him president so that he can spend approximately one-third of his time, one out of every 3 days that he's president? Now, when you're elected president, it's very prestige. They don't give you a lot of money. He actually made it a big deal that he's giving back the 400-some-odd thousand they pay him. He said, I don't need the money. And it's the same man who says he wants to make sure everybody pays their fair share. When you hear someone like him who has been caught lying thousands of times, there isn't a day that he hasn't told a lie. The man just believes that if he smiles, pontificates, again, watch him. He likes to have the lectern turned up so he looks bigger. Likes to keep his jacket open, his tie hanging down. This is all marketing shtick. He's great at this. He's a genius at marketing. He wants you to think how big and bad and how bold he is, that he's going to be there to protect you. All he's there is to milk you, and he's not that tough when you really look at what he's done and how he's kowtowed to people. Anyway, in fact, if you look at him over the last few months, when you get shots of him and he's with a group and he's not talking, you will see him folding his arms across his chest and actually doing this. This is when a human, this is reading body language, tries to like roll into a ball and hide because they're uncomfortable. Donald, watch yourself. You're showing how weak you are every time you do that. Anyway, what's been happening is Nancy Pelosi, who he likes to pick on, he uses simple words. He figures he can dismiss it with a thing like we're teenagers, we're in a schoolyard. There are putts, there are this, there are that. That's not what the world is about. This is about your pocket, your freedom, your security. What Morning Joe finally talked about is it's easily $1 million a day that Donald Trump, when he goes to his resorts, we get charged. Donald was tutored by his father, who was an expert at using expense to put revenue in his own pocket. That's neither good or bad, except that when you deprive people of things, you make other people pay for what you want, and you pay nothing. And Donald, over the years, you can go back and check it out, he was proud to say, I pay no taxes, like he's smarter than the rest of us. Yet he walks around saying, I'm going after them because they're not paying their fair share. So what is he doing? He's had over 300 plus days at his resorts at this point. Every time he goes to his resorts, he's got his family, the Secret Service, whatever it takes to protect him. And he makes us pay top rates for food, for lodging, for everything else. We did not hire Donald Trump to be our president to go on a tour of his resorts and charge us for it. Right now, he is easily taking between $200 million and $500 million out of the Treasury for all of the visits to his resorts. He is in business to put money in the pockets of himself, in the P&Ls of his resorts, revenue that he would never have except that he's sitting in the presidency and nobody's telling him it's wrong to charge this. I have offered before that I will gladly lead the audit for free because that's not the only thing he's doing. He's discovered that if you can switch pockets of money around that are in things that you keep hearing the House of Representatives has, but when he does things, he has, as I said, that shadow board of directors over the VA. That's almost a $200 billion a year budget. They're changing contracts. People are hearing contracts to are beholding to him. They have to buy materials for when they do their work from companies that he may set up that will then contribute to his campaign. May sound complicated, but it's just another way of extorting money from us. He's taking money that we pay to run our government and taking it out of our pocket, putting it in his. I told you, just remember the word TOW, T-O-W, transfer of wealth. That's what he's doing. He pays nothing. We pay for everything, and he gives away tons of money. He was going to get rid of the deficit as soon as he got in office, right? The deficit has gone up by a few trillion and will go up more with what he's given away to a group that he figures will contribute to him and keep him in office. All of them don't agree with him, but they don't see how they can defeat him. They could defeat him by remembering they're citizens of the U.S. I told you, the one thing that beats all the money in the world is all of us, as we started doing in 2017 and definitely in 2018, is getting up off our ass and going out and vote. And as I've pointed out, it's not just a final vote for the president. You've got to vote a new Congress in. You did it with the House of Representatives, so they've been able to offset things he's doing. He tells you that they're blocking things. Mitch McConnell has led very few bills through the Senate. Tons of bills that deal with things have gone to the Senate. When you understand, they like to talk about that they've gone to the Supreme Court. Affordable Care Act, that mandate, they said, oh, it's a tax. They've ruled wrong. So they're trying to get the Supreme Court to get rid of it. You heard the Republicans, even before Donald Trump was elected, say, we're going to get rid of it. I've told you that the Affordable Care Act was designed originally by the Heritage Foundation. It's basically a conservative foundation. Mitt Romney used it outline when he put a plan in place in Massachusetts that worked and everybody loved it. So everybody likes to call it Obamacare because they want to tell you that black guy who was president, he did it. So he screwed us up. What do those people know about what we need? You know what? I grew up in Brooklyn, New York. I went to schools that had people from all different backgrounds, colors, races, religion, especially the high school I went to. It was a public high school, but it was competitive to get into. You had to take a test. You had to write an essay in those days. They didn't use computers to decide it. People would read it. So you were like applying for a job if you really wanted to go to this school that taught you more stuff than you had to know. But I found interesting. So when I went to that school, and it was all boys at the time, I found people of all colors, races, ethnicities walking the halls. The reason they were there is they were able to pass the test and write a good essay that was compelling enough to say, I wanted to go here. I do think. I want to learn. So New York had a great system going at the time, and I can't say I'm not in it now. I don't have children in it. I live in Florida. I think Florida is growing and getting better. We used to think of it as just a little country that was a good place to get a sunburn. Not anymore. It's become big. I have to say some of the biggest schools in the country that have produced people. UCF, I now believe, is the largest school by population in the country. If not, it's the second. I went to Baruch, which is part of the city university system. They have grown tremendously, not in size, but in stature and alumni, because they date back easily over 100 years. My wife had gone to Rutgers. Rutgers is a university in New Jersey. Actually, Rutgers, I believe, started in Newark or something, or New Brunswick, one or the other. But believe it or not, Princeton, I think, came out of the same cauldron. And when Newark had two universities, they didn't feel they needed two. The city was big, but not that big. They shipped one of them down to a place called Princeton. More than 100 years ago, but as I remember the story, that's where Princeton started. So you got to look into the background. We all come from diverse backgrounds, but that's what made this country great. We don't look for people who look just like ourselves. Maybe we want to associate with them when we're at home. But if we want to move forward as a nation, the reason we've been so great is we have people from all different walks of life, from farmers to doctors to technicians to garbage. It doesn't matter. We believe that if a person steps up to the line and does his job, they're valid. We've got to get back to this basic. So I believe Nancy Pelosi, and I'm going to go out on a limb with this, has decided she's ready to send the articles over because Mitch McConnell thinks he's the only clever mind there, and he's finally figured you can't delay it too long. They were brilliant in narrowing down two specific articles of impeachment to get the president on. Then they're going to send them on, and Mitch has just about announced that he's going to do whatever Donald wants. However, he announced that he thinks he's clever, that we're going to make it like the Clinton impeachment. We're going to follow those rules. What do you have a problem with? We'll discuss it after. We don't have to tell you in advance who you need to send. So he may think that he's out Fox Nancy, but what he's done is set a die. The Clinton impeachment, what happened in Congress was they didn't have to have tons of witnesses because they had what was called an independent counsel. He did years of research, and that was all brought into the Senate. We had a special counsel, which has tried to be tamped down by Attorney General Barr and the president, telling us that he was exonerated. I know nobody likes to read 400-some-odd pages, but I can tell you, excuse me again, as I said, I've got a bronchial infection, I believe. Being treated, I'm not contagious. Anyway, the bottom line is that Mitch is going to be surprised because they're going to insist that, well, you said we're following the Clinton system. Well, we got to bring in the report from the special counsel. He's going to say, well, no, well, you didn't have a special counsel. They changed the rules, but they brought a report in. So they're going to say either you bring the report in and we go over it, and what did it say? And I can tell you that in that 400-some-odd pages, there were many impeachable offenses that were laid out, but nobody's going to indict you when you work for the Attorney General and he works for the president. But it was very clear in that report. So when they bring that up, just take a careful look at your Senate and take a careful look at Mitch McConnell. And no matter who's pressuring him, he's not serving us if he's willing to just let things go by when he has clear criminal evidence of what Donald has done. So I leave it to you all. The important thing is not money. I would love us to show that we understand how valuable our vote is. I would love us, from everything I've seen of people who are registered to vote, when it comes down to the end and you have, let's say, a Democratic candidate and a Republican candidate, Donald Trump, excuse me, unless they get to finalize the impeachment, because technically if he's impeached, he can't run for office. That's why they're trying to stop this and blanket out. But if in the Senate a few real Americans who may be called Republicans, they remember what country they live in, if they stand up and vote for putting evidence in or getting testimony, and it'll all be broadcast all over the place, if he gets away with blanketing this and just pushing it under the rug, the next thing is when we vote, and if you don't go out in the primaries, which I've told you gives you a better choice, when it gets to the end, even if you're an independent, even if you don't like Democrats or Republicans, do not sit home on your ass. Get out and vote. Vote Trump out of office. If anybody doesn't get it, there are enough people when they do surveys that said they recognize he's working in his own best interest, not ours. Let me get to a few things that are going on. And really, again, I ask you, send me comments, send me thoughts. And again, you can send me at AE, the word equals, then MC squared, MCSQ, I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm trying to keep myself from breathing too deeply and coughing all over. Louis said, if only people would realize TOW is the only agenda this corrupt administration uses. Louis, you're right. I tried to keep it simple. TOW, we only have 26 letters. We use them for a lot. But yeah, remember TOW, tow. When you tow something, you either bring it into port, tow it away because it's in the way. In this case, transfer of wealth. Real simple to remember. Remember that your wealth, your money is being used to go in Donald's pocket every time he goes and spends a day at a resort that he owns. Not at a home, not as Bush did. He went to Crenshaw, Texas, where he has his ranch. Not as anybody else. And by the way, he likes to talk about Obama. Obama, when he took a real vacation, he paid the bill for his own bill. The government paid for the Secret Service. So we don't expect the president to go into debt to take a vacation. But we don't expect a president who doesn't pay any taxes to keep pulling hundreds of millions of dollars out of our treasury. I don't know where this man intends to live when he gets out of office. But the ugly thing is he may intend that he's going to beat us all, close down the elections, and decide that he's going to declare a state of emergency. They played an old clip of him in 2012 when Barack Obama was running for a second term. What did Donald say? He said, you watch. Barack Obama is going to declare certain emergencies and he may start a war so that you'll need to reelect him because it'll be a war going on. Lo and behold, what did he just do with Iran? The man will do anything, anything to keep himself in power. From Instagram, who do you use as the Democratic front runner? Let me say this. The majority of the people who are there, some of them are new to me, some of them are not. And I don't care if it's a male or a female. For us to get off on whether we get a woman in there or not, I'll talk about women in a second because I saw a survey, and I laugh when I see some of these surveys. I'll tell you why in a minute. The Democrats that are running are generally good people. I will tell you that any one of the Democrats that are running are either more successful business people or more successful government people than Donald ever was or ever will be. Donald worked for himself. He frittered away his father's fortune till some, as I've told you, illegal immigrants started a show called The Apprentice and made him look like this big, important guy. He isn't. He's a crook. It's that simple. And in fact, a guy like Donald, in psychology, the more basic thing is they like to talk about other people by projecting their failings on other people. So when he tells you a person's a crook or a this or a that, listen to the word, he's talking about himself. Hillary never got tagged with anything, no matter what you think of her. And she has gone out and served our government and gone to places that he would never bother unless they paid him to go there. So, any Democrat that would be running, any would be much greater than this idiot who's in there now, who's only there for putting money in his own pocket. And while he's doing it, he's serving Vladimir Putin, who has him under control. I have never seen an American president who will accept the word of a communist former KGB person over all of our intelligence agencies. You tell me who's got him in his pocket. There are many other things I can point to, but as I said, I've dealt with KGB after the Iron Curtain came down, And I hate to tell you, these guys have brainwashed themselves to believe that they're not successful unless we're no longer around. Vladimir Putin is appearing in more places. There was this thing at the UN where they just voted out some of the money for helping people in Syria to get out of there. You're talking over 3 million people that we've been helping with funds. Those funds have now been shifted because of Russia's influence in the UN and the United States not voting no, but abstaining. But I give credit to the woman who did the vote for the U.S. She said that this is wrong, but I guess she didn't want to be kicked out immediately from a job by Donald by saying we're against it. But the money has been shifted to Damascus. They're giving the guy Assad back more money to rebuild Syria and kill people any way he wants. This is the man who used chemical warfare to kill his own people. Barrel bombs that just obliterated and disabled people. He is a monster. There's no two ways about it. And he is one of Russia's little puppets at the moment. Okay, again from Cahill on Facebook. Your vote is your voice. Speak loudly. He's absolutely right. Your vote is your voice. But your vote, understand this, is so powerful that no matter how much money anybody spends to try and get you to vote this way or that, and believe me, Donald is running a bunch of commercials that are showing black people and other people doing strange things on the internet. He's become a master. He's good at this. He hires the best agencies. He's hiring them with your money. He's using your money that he takes out of our pocket to make you believe that these people are doing wrong. He'll show you Colin Kaepernick on his knee telling you that he's bending to some dictator when it's Donald who's serving Vladimir Putin. People, remember this. If you don't vote in the primary, that's great. But when you go to that final election, make me proud to be an American. Let's see 75 to 80% of the public turn out to vote. Don't leave their line till they take you in, because they can't close it till you get the vote. Take your phone. Almost everybody, rich or poor, has a cell phone. If they won't give you a receipt for your vote showing how you voted, take a picture of your ballot before you hand it in to them. So you've got it. And if need be, all of us can send those pictures in at some point to any one of the major news agencies. Let them sort it out. But then we'll be able to say the vote was rigged. Because I can tell you, the registered Democrats and independents far outnumber the Republicans. Nothing wrong with Republicans, except that the party has been taken over by a monster. And he is under the influence of other people who are putting money in his pocket or promise them stuff. Let me go over a few things that have been happening in the last week or so. The GOP has got people out there on TV saying that the Democrats are mourning. They're sad that this Iranian general was killed. Nothing is more of a lie than anybody who's reading those statements. There is not a Democrat who knows that this Iranian general has killed or ordered the death of many people. Nobody's talking about the Saudi prince who backs Donald all the time and also helps control him, who killed Khashoggi, cut the man up and got rid of him. What's happening with that? Nobody's talking about it anymore. It's always something new that they'll throw out there. No matter how many Republicans get out there who tell that lie, take a picture of them, put it on your wall, and remember, they will lie for whatever they think they're getting. Because there is nobody who understands what this Iranian general was that would not have killed him personally. But that's not the point. Donald got away with that SEAL team thing where he had the dog that he was even afraid to pet. You could see him when he was standing there. Donald felt that ramped him up a little bit like Obama. So let me do a few more targets. He targeted this guy illegally. It was in another sovereign government. He didn't tell the Congress. Donald is telling you more and more, I don't have to answer to anybody. He says, Article 2, Article this, the man will not quote articles if he gets reelected. He'll say, I'm in charge, the people have put me here. When you hear that, we set up the Electoral College after we set up the country. The Electoral College is not perfect, but the votes were definite. No matter what Donald wants to lie about, Hillary Clinton got almost 3 million more votes from people than he did. If we went by who had the highest popular vote, we wouldn't be suffering under this idiot, and we wouldn't be losing our place in the world. Second thing, as I said, these things that Donald's been putting out that are very racist and biased and arrest commercials he's sticking out there. I heard something the other day, and usually this man doesn't say it unless he means it. Bloomberg, who is a serious billionaire, he didn't inherit it. This guy made his money, okay? He didn't just piss away his father's money and then steal what he could from other people. Bloomberg is spending, he's already spent over $100 million. He's running for office, but he announced in the last few days that even if he doesn't get the nomination, he's going to continue spending. Because he, remember, there's Bloomberg news services that are out there. He's used to running the news and having a reputation. His news services, he knows what Donald is doing and what's going on in the world. He has said that he will continue spending money to offset whatever Donald is spending and doing. And he's quite serious when he says something like that. I could tell you a few hundred million dollars to him is not a big deal, even if he spent $1 billion. But he's serious enough as an American that he said, I will continue spending, even if I'm not nominated, to make sure that I offset the propaganda that he's putting out there. Next, immigration fees. Donald Trump is now, after he stopped the inflow of people that we need as a growing country. Again, he knows that will keep the unemployment rate down because the less people that come into the country and have to blend in and get jobs, the easier it is to keep most people employed. And so he keeps these low rates like he's a genius. But even the immigration on the H visas and stuff, he's decided, because he recognizes he's pulling a lot of money out of the government that you don't see. He wants to put more money in there for him to reach into. So what he's doing, he's passed where he wants to up the immigration fees. So when businesses who've been using people from outside the country to come in and take techie spots and stuff, it's going to increase by about 50% the cost of bringing these people in here. He's going to make people pay. That's what Donald does. The more money he takes out of your pocket, the more he's got available for his pocket. The fees for other workers and people who may come here and then want to become citizens after they've come here properly, legally, and then want to apply, he's increasing those fees by close to 100%. So he's making everybody that he can get to pay more into the government, because he knows from the numbers that I'm sure Mick Mulvaney has read to him that the government collections are not going enough so that people might notice how much he's pulling out. So that's another thing he's done. On the good side, there are 21 states that in 2020 have agreed, either from December 31st or during this year, the beginning of the year or during it, 21 more states, that includes the District of Columbia, are raising their minimum wage. But people, let me say this. That's good. People need a certain amount so they don't have to, you know, not be able to feed their family and the rest. But think about it. $15 an hour, which is the bigger number that you hear about minimum wage, and I can't guarantee all of them are going to 15. Times 40 hours in a week would be $600 a week. Times 52 weeks, you're talking a little over $30,000 a year. I want any of you listening to me or any friends you have, tell me how well you could live on $30,000 a year. I've already discussed with you, we have this gigantic homelessness problem. The bottom line is that we could solve some of our economic issues and the homelessness problem and put people to more productive use by putting some infrastructure bills through. Guess what? If Trump wants to prove he's better than Obama, Obama pulled the auto industry out of what happened, and he got all the money back with interest that he gave them and helped our economy grow. And when you look at statistics, Obama still outranks Trump in the amount of change in the stock market. So if he likes to talk about that, which doesn't touch about 50% of the people in this country. So your vote is the most precious thing. They know it. Do not let them turn you off. If the candidate you want is not running, that's not a good reason to tell yourself, well, I'm not going to vote. My guy, my woman is not there. Your guy or your woman is whoever gets elected president. That person is going to affect your life for up to 4 years at least if they don't get thrown out of office. So no matter who you wanted, no matter you wanted someone who said a new pair of shoelaces, a chicken in every pot, whatever turned you on to that person, when it comes to the presidential election, you want to get off your ass and go vote. I beg you, let's have 75 or 80% turnout. I guarantee you, with that level of turnout, no matter what Donald does, no matter how the Russians try and play, he will be defeated if he still is in office and not kicked out. And watch the hearings and turn your signs around and say, we don't want what McConnell's giving us, which is garbage. Betsy DeVos, she's finally finalized some rules. As I said before, laws are nice, but then you need to put the rules and regulations on how they're going to apply. Betsy DeVos, who's our education secretary, hopefully we're all getting an education of how this very rich woman is running our system. She used to be involved with a lot of these for-profit colleges. A lot of them were scamming students. There were cases where people got to go against them. She didn't like that because she, like a lot of people who had invested in these things, had made a ton of money. Why do we have to pay these poor people back who struggled to pay for their education? So she has helped formulate the final rules against student loan forgiveness. If you haven't read about it, just Google it. There's a lot of stuff on that for you to understand, but basically a lot of normal people who tried to get an education and better themselves have been scammed out of their money. Next, the Supreme Court is going to hear a challenge that has come up by someone. I forget the company or the group. But during Obama's administration, they put the CFPB, the Citizens Financial, I forget the total name of it, but it's the board to guarantee that people don't take advantage of us, regular people, which he's already put Mitt Mulvaney in to neutralize their effect. But the Supreme Court's going to hear a challenge. And guess what the challenge is on? That new board that oversees that people get treated fairly with loans and such, that law is infringing upon executive authority. Guess who put this together? And if this gets passed by the Supreme Court, is going to say that if Donald gets in, that basically he has a right to say what he thinks is right, and we've got to live with it. Now, again, pardon me, I am drowning in my own liquids, but Instagram messages, polls show, this is someone who wrote in, Bloomberg is in fifth place. Again, his ad campaigns are going to introduce himself. He has a record of what he did in New York. Technically, he couldn't run again. He had to get something passed for him to stay in. But they forget his stop and frisk. His stop and frisk policy was ugly. They targeted people of color. Did he expect that? But the police on the street, that's what they did. Was that right? No. Have we been fighting it? Yes. Is he sorry it happened that way? We hope so. But you know what? I'd rather have a guy who put in stop and frisk and it was misused and he finally admitted it than a guy who's not stopping, just reaching in our pocket and taking the money out of it. Think about it. Don't let an issue like that keep you from voting. Because, well, I remember what Bloomberg did. My uncle was stopped. They threw him in jail. You know what? Unless you want to find out that the next president, if he gets reelected, who doesn't listen to Congress, Mitch McConnell will be amazed at how little Donald even bothers to talk to him if he gets reelected. You won't worry about stop and frisk. You'll worry about whether you have an ID card that tells you in this new totalitarian regime of Donald of who can go to work and who has to give him whatever he says. Now, again, from Kale, Bloomberg is used to dealing with 45 in New York City. Bloomberg is like me. I am older than Donald Trump by 4 years. Bloomberg's older than him. He grew up around New York City. He knows what this thief and crooked guy is like. He saw how he loves to be adored because his father, I guess, didn't pay enough attention to him. You know what? We can't dig up Donald Trump's father to tell him that we hate what he gave us by not teaching his son better. But let me remind you, we can teach him. Vote, vote, vote. I've been trying to think of it, and I wish any of you write me your thoughts. The word vote, four letters. On the way in, I was thinking about vote. The V stands for vote. The O stands for out. The T stands for totalitarian. And the E stands for, I can't even read my own writing because I scribbled it while I was driving. But encroachment. So unless you want the vote to be meaningless because you didn't get out because the one candidate you were looking for, the one issue you were interested in, is not there on the ballot, think of it this way. Your life for the next 4 years is on that ballot. If Donald gets in again and we can't prove that he rigged the election by taking a picture of our ballot or whatever we have to do so that it's so overwhelming that nobody has a doubt he lost, you're going to find out what your vote means when you no longer even have a right to vote. So, Sandy also from Facebook. Everything he's saying makes sense. Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm trying to make enough sense that everybody understands. I will go out and vote if the last guy other than Donald that's left standing for me to vote for is someone I dislike, but he's not Donald. I hate to say it, there's nobody out there that I can say would be as ugly and mean to the American public and would be as crooked or steal as much from us. The lack of respect for our country and the office that he fills. Lucy, okay, speak the truth. I can only tell you that the way I was brought up and the way I was smacked when I said something wrong, I decided I either speak the truth and maybe get hit because nobody wants to hear it, but I've always been, maybe because I grew up quickly and I was bigger than most kids, so people were treating me like, I can't be a four-year-old or a six-year-old, I'm too big. They'd make my mother pay for me to get on the bus even though I was too young to pay. The bottom line is that we've got to all decide for ourselves what really counts. And no matter what issue is important to us, no matter what candidate we'd like to see in that office, if we all get together and back a candidate that isn't Donald Trump, we will get to change our government and hopefully bring it back to where it belongs. You do not know. When he gets out of office and people get in there, you will be astounded. But I want you all to remember that when we get him out of office, that it's going to take a couple of years to rebuild what we have, to get back with our partners, Think of it. Recently, he's saying, well, he wants NATO to help us with this or that. NATO was the organization that he pissed on. Everybody who doesn't suit what Putin wants is what he's against. Every dictator who sounds like he tells his countrymen what to do, he's proud of. Do you want a dictator? Think about it. I'll get back to my Brooklyn roots, my street. Dictator in his sense of what the word means to me mentally, when I hear that word, I think of it as two words, dick and tater. A potato that looks like you know what and has orangey, ugly hair. Anyway, and by the way, impeach makes me think of, because I learned I love words and I love the meanings and I love to get points across. And Donald is a brilliant tactician when it comes to marketing. Impeach, you can separate it into I'm a peach. And when you think about a peach, soft and fuzzy and orangey, and that's what Donald is. Soft and fuzzy, he tries to act big and bad, but the only one he's serving is himself and the people who have control over him, which starts with Vladimir. Anybody who can't see that, do a little research. I again will be happy to tell anybody anything else. I'm sorry we started a little late. I like to be on time, but because of the way I was feeling, it took us a little time to get everything set up and make sure I got most of my throat clear so I could talk. A day or two ago, I could barely talk, which for me is disastrous. I love talking. Instagram. I don't think that he will be a one-term president. You know what? Don't think about it. We don't automatically make men two-term presidents. I could tell you that Bush Sr., he would have made a great second-term president. There are plenty of people who went by the wayside because people were pushed one way or another. It's so definite when you understand what Donald is doing to us and robbing us and making us look like crap on the world that you just want to make sure he doesn't become a second-term president. No one is automatically guaranteed. Even if they say, well, you let Clinton do it, you let this one do it, it doesn't matter. This man doesn't deserve to be a first-term president. I hope that Congress, the Senate, that at least 6 or 10 of those Republicans get their goddamn gumption up and decide that they are Americans first and decide to allow testimony, decide to allow the special counsel's report, because if they want to go by Clinton rules, they've got to let the evidence in, even if they don't let people testify. Keep your eyes on what Mitch does. If he tries to shove it under the rug, remember, if we all have to move to Kentucky and register, make sure we can vote, I'd be willing to do it if I could make my hotel address, my permanent address, for the next election. But we don't have to wait that long. We, the people, have the power. Vote is how you exercise that power. Do not let all of these things, when you get blanketed by all of this money being spent, it's your money. Because as I've taught you in economics, every business puts every dollar of expense into the goods or services they sell you. So when any of these corporations or any of these wealthy people are spending money to tell you what to do, it's your money they're spending. I will talk again about it in another week or two about how we have to make a simple change in our tax law where we will put money that we've paid when we buy things into our treasury. The Republicans are blind. It doesn't matter. Look, there's that guy Bill Weld. He's an old Republican. He's running against Donald, who's trying to keep him off the ballot. Any Republicans who want to go out and vote who have any conscience, don't vote for Donald. And you want to vote Republican? Vote for Bill Weld. He's at least an American citizen who talks the truth and is serious. And he's 10 times better than Donald. Again, my page on Facebook is AE equals MC squared. likes, comments, shares, whatever. In fact, tell me, guys, I keep thinking maybe I should go on YouTube because there are more people who watch it. I am proud that I have an audience who's willing to listen to me for an hour. This is not the most interesting subject, but you know what? It's about your life and what affects you. So I'm going to have to sign off. I'm sorry I started a little late, but I'll ask you all, send me stuff. Facebook, it's AE, the word equals, then MC squared. Instagram, it's AE, the word equals, then MC, and again squared, the word. My Gmail is AE, the word equals, then MCSQ@gmail.com. You'll find me out there. That silly pair of glasses, as I said, I stole Einstein's formula. People used to joke with me about, hey, you're AE like Albert. Yeah, okay. Brilliant guy. And I used to figure I should go into science and come up with something astounding. You know what? I am out here for one reason and one reason only. I love my country. We've got the greatest country on the planet. Do not allow people to take it away from you. No matter what they do, vote, vote, vote. Thank you. Have a good weekend. And I hope you all feel better than I do.